Hebrews chapter number 11, talking about faith. And I'm going to begin reading with verse number 1 again, because it has been so long since we've been here in Hebrews chapter number 11. The Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it elders obtained a good report." I'm going to stop right here for just a minute. I want to ask a question, and you can take this rhetorically, or you can answer it to yourself, or however, but why is faith so hard? Or in particular, why is faith in God so hard? You know, we're living in a day and a time where everybody thinks that everything has to be scientifically proven and this, and a lot of that is a bunch of bull, and we can get tied up in that, and I don't want to get tied up in that tonight, but why we as Christians struggle with increasing our faith or allowing God to increase our faith. Sometimes I think that we try to figure out so much and we try to become so knowledgeable. You know, the Bible even talks about that people have become so wise that they have become as fools. Instead of just accepting what God has given us in His Word and just believing it, that we come to a place that we think we're supposed to understand it all. And we're going to get to that here in just a minute also. But faith and increasing our faith and people having faith, in particular faith in God, is something that seems like it's hard for people to do. And sometimes it's even hard for us as Christians to, that blew me right there. It's hard for us as Christians to increase our faith and encourage people to have faith in God. So when we look at faith, what we're initially doing or what we're kind of doing is asking people to believe in something that you can't see. You're asking them to believe in something that they can't physically see with their eyes, they can't touch, they can't smell, they can't taste. And I think that is something we have become so in the place that we're, well, if it's true, I want you to prove it to me. But however, we're living in a day and time that we do a whole lot of things by faith and we don't even understand that we're doing it by faith. There's things that we do each and every day that shows a type of faith, and I'm not talking about a faith in God, but that shows a type of faith that or that we believe that something is going to happen. We don't even understand that we're doing that at this point in time. Let's take this. However, every day we send text. Now, has any of y'all ever seen a text? Now, I'm talking about, have you really seen a text? I'm not talking about looking at your phone and seeing the result of a text. But every single day we send text and have faith that that text is going to go to the person that we sent it to. Now, some of y'all might be texting right now talking about how crazy the preacher is, but I don't see the text going through the air. If we've seen, you know, people sitting around on their phones all the time and they're all texting each other and we don't actually see the text, I don't see words floating in the air. And it's actually kind of amazing when you look at the way that the internet works. A fax machine is just about out of style. It's almost a dinosaur. But ain't it amazing how that machine takes a picture of something that you put in there and it scrambles it all up and it sends it across airwaves and telephone lines and everything else, and then it puts it all back together and it spits that on the other end. Ain't that amazing? But when we hit send on that thing, we have faith that it's going to get all put back together in the order that it was and come out on the other end. When you send me a text, you have so much faith that that text is going to go through. You got so much confidence, even though you can't see that text going through the air, you still have so much confidence that that text went through that when I don't respond, you're upset with me because you're saying, why don't he respond to my text? And you don't know whether you got it or not, but your faith is telling you that I got that because you've experienced it before. I had somebody just today that sent me a text. I didn't get the text. I was talking to them a little later on the phone, and they said, well, I guess since you didn't want to send me that material, I'll just get it from the guys across town. And I just laughed. I had no idea whatsoever what they were talking about. Well, later on the day, my phone wasn't working just right, and I cut my phone off, and I cut my phone back on, and all of a sudden, bing, 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 bing. I mean, I got like 12 texts just like that. And there, well, that guy had so much faith that that text went through that he was friendly chewing me out because I didn't respond to him. It was Mark Gentry, by the way, just in case you want to know. But then when I turned my phone on and I showed him, I said, look right here. I said, look, we had this conversation, this conversation, this conversation, and then your text came through. But he wanted to chew me out because I didn't respond the first time. And What I'm saying is we have so much faith, and you say, well, that's easy because I have experienced that. I've been on the giving end of a text. I've been on the receiving end of the text. But we have so much faith that we'll get upset when somebody don't respond to our text because we got so much faith that that went through. Yet, we have seen and experienced God so many different times in our life, and we've seen Him work, and we have seen Him move, and yet when something comes along, we don't have enough faith to say, God, I know you're going to handle this too. God, I know you're going to work in this too. We have seen and experienced God so many times in our life. See, we can say that we've experienced a text, but we can't see a text, but we can. But I want to tell you, at the age of 7 is when I had my first real experience with God. And that was God spoke to my heart. He pulled me out of everybody in this universe. And in my little home up in Cana, Virginia, He spoke to me that night. He called my name and let me know that I needed Him in my life. Now, I had experienced that maybe twice before that in Rock Hill Baptist Church during different invitations. But that night when God called my name and I received that small measure of faith to say, God, I believe that your son gave his life for me. Hey, look, I was 7 years old. I didn't say it that much. I said, God, I know that I've done wrong. I ask you to forgive me. And that night, I experienced God in my life. But you see, from time and time after that, each and every time, any time in my life, multiple times, I have experienced God in my life. And yet we say, well, we can have faith that this text is going to go through because we experience it every day. But can I tell you tonight that if not for experiencing God in our life, that none of us would even be able to get out of bed in the morning, take a deep breath of air, put our clothes on. We can't do anything without God's help. We may not be acknowledging that He's the one that gave us that strength and that power to do that. But we experience God every single day. Today, when I went to lunch, I let Silas drive me. He's going to get his license here in a couple of months. I just have to sit over there. You know that handle right above the door? Silas gets mad at me because I ride the whole time gripping to that handle. Now, and he does pretty good. I'll give him credit. He drives pretty good. But if the speed limit is 55, he thinks he's supposed to run 60. And if there's a stop sign right up there, you're supposed to run 60 until you get to that stop sign. You're not supposed to slow down anywhere in between that. But I get in the car with him, and I have to put my trust that he's going to drive us safely. Let me tell you something. My trust is more in God than it is in Silas. I can tell you that right now. But every day we experience God working in our lives. For God to get me and Silas from United Plumbing over to 601 and back, can I tell you something? If God took His hand of safety off of us, the devil would kill us just like that. Not because the devil can have us, but he would absolutely love to do away with any testimony that we have, any light that we could possibly be for the glory of God. Satan would love to kill that right now. And he would kill us right. So I've experienced the hand of God today in my life. I haven't given him that recognition for it, but God has absolutely been present in my life, and I have experienced that. So why day in and day out when situations come in our life, do we have trouble letting our faith take over? Let your mind quit working for just a minute. I tell my girls in softball and Silas and his team in baseball, I said, when we're in practice, we think about stuff. When you're in the batter's box in practice, you think about stuff. You think about your form. You think about your swing pattern. You think about this and that. You think about all these different things. I said, but now when you get in the box during the game, you forget all of that, and you just let all of your muscle memory take over. You let everything that you've been working on, you let that take over. You know what? That's what we should be doing with God. So that when things are going right in our life, we're in His Word and we're preparing ourselves. This is practice. We're at practice right now, and God can speak to us, and God can help us to get our muscle memory right, our spiritual muscle memory, so that when things come along in our life, we should just be able to relax and go, okay, God, this is yours. You got this. But it's not that easy for me and my faith and my life. But let's continue reading. So look, in verse number 1, let's go get there again. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by elders obtain a good report. Listen to number 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So look, in verse number 3, we're going to stop for just a second. Because one thing that should help us increase our faith, Listen how it says this. Through faith, we understand. Now, I believe that understand might be an overstatement right here, because it's talking about even through creation of how this world was formed and how this world came together, that we, through faith, that we can understand that. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't completely understand all of creation. I understand that the Bible tells me that in the beginning, God, and that He spoke it all into existence. So as far as I need to understand is that it was all God and there was nothing else that had a hand in it whatsoever. It was all God. There was no Big Bang. There was no little organism that crawled up out of the sea and become a man. There was none of those things. In the beginning, God. That's all I need to understand. But now we're looking at faith tonight. So he's saying, through faith we understand. And I'm going to, I'm not replacing a word in God's word for nothing. God's word is perfect. It don't need me changing it. But for my experience tonight, let's think about it like this. Through faith, we believe. We just absolutely just got to believe. If you're one of those people that thinks, well, I just can't believe that God spoke this world into existence. But you can believe that two big old rocks somewhere or another, I don't know where these rocks come from, but these two big old rocks slammed together and there was a big bang and boom, there come out planets and stars and solar systems. I mean, think about it just like this. Now, this is very simple. When you look at the beauty and the complexity of nature, I think it has to be obvious through faith that there was more that happened than just a big bang. Let's think about this. The fact that the earth is rotating at 1,000 miles per hour. The earth that we're on right now is spinning at 1,000 miles per hour. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we flew to Miami. A plane, when it takes off, is doing somewhere around 160 to 170 miles an hour. And I could feel the effects of that plane when we took off. It set me back. Why can we not feel ourselves moving at 1,000 miles per hour tonight? Oh, because it just, boom, it happened. Now, I don't know about that. So the fact that the earth is rotating at 1,000 miles per hour, it's tilted at 23.5 degrees on an axis, and it is orbiting around the sun at 67,000 miles per hour, but then the gravitational pull of 9.8 meters per square inch is exactly what's needed to keep us from flying off. Man, that's a whole lot of anomalies that just had to happen and come together, ain't it? Now, are we crazy for having faith that a God spoke all of this into existence and put it in the perfect place? Or would you be crazy to think that it all just happened? You'd be crazy to think it all just happened. That'd be like saying, I heard my dad use this example one time and I really liked it. He said he was out mowing the yard one day and he had a little satchel here on his side. And as he's out mowing the yard, he got to looking and he found some glass laying there on the grass. And he picked up that glass and he stuck it in his little satchel. And as he kept going, he found a little piece of leather. And he kept going and he found some little pieces of metal. And he just picked up all the trash that he could find in his yard. And he put it all in that little satchel and he just walked around and he mowed the yard. And it all just kind of shook up in that little bag while he was mowing the yard. He got done mowing, went and put his lawnmower up that day. And as he got back to take his little satchel off and throw everything out of the little satchel into the trash, it had all shook up in that little bag and it had just made this little watch. Ain't that amazing how that happened? Anybody, if you believe that, you're crazy. Well, if you believe that all of this just happened, you'd have to be insane. You'd have to be just crazy. Hey, if they want to call me crazy for believing that my God spoke this whole thing into existence, I'll take that I'm crazy, that I'm insane or whatever. But I believe that it's so much easier to believe by faith that God spoke all this into existence. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed and by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now listen, we talked about the beauty and the complexity of nature. We haven't even touched the complexity of every bug that there is, every worm, every animal, every human. We hadn't even touched any of that. And you want to tell me tonight that we should just have faith that it all just happened? Absolutely not. Let your faith be assured in the God that we serve as the snowflakes are in the science that cannot be proven. I'll just put it plain. They want to say that all this just absolutely happened. Well, tell me where they got any kind of starting position for that. They had to be something to start with. There was nothing there. Look, I'm not trying to prove to you about creation tonight. I believe that every one of y'all believe creation. But I just want to say this tonight, that just as sure as we're all sitting here, and I firmly believe that everyone sitting in this congregation, there is absolutely no way that anybody could talk you out of God creating this world. That nobody could talk to you long enough to make you think, well, maybe God didn't create all this. I think you're settled, you're firm on that. Why can't we be that settled and that firm that our faith in God can carry us through anything that we come up against, that our faith in God is going to stand sure, that our faith in God is going to be there through thick and thin no matter what we face. I want my faith to be that sure in everything that we do. I'm going to continue tonight just to get to a couple of other examples and we'll be done here in just a minute. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Verse number 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Shannon, I didn't tell you this scripture, but let's go to Genesis chapter number 4. Genesis chapter number 4. I want us to read about Cain and Abel just really quick, and we might touch Enoch tonight. This is some stuff that we don't get into a whole lot of times. This is Wednesday night Bible study. You know, I'm trying not to preach. I'm trying to do a little Bible study. But Genesis chapter number 4, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. But Cain unto his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." Now we find in Cain and Abel here in Genesis chapter number 4 that Abel faithfully followed the example of God's sacrifice to cover the sins of Adam and Eve. If you remember, after Adam and Eve sinned, that God made a sacrifice there in the garden to cover their nakedness. And he gave the example. He gave the example of a blood sacrifice that it was going to take to cover the sins. So now here in Genesis chapter number 4, as Cain and Abel are coming to make their sacrifices, that Cain, he brought of the fruit of the ground. He was a farmer. He was a gardener, if you will. And he brought that kind of sacrifice. That wasn't faithfully following the example that God had given there in the garden. See, I think in order for us to increase our faith, and look, the only thing that can increase our faith is us completely surrendering ourselves unto God and yielding to the Holy Spirit in our life. But in order to do that, we got to follow the example that God set before us. Through His Word and through the flesh example that He gave us in His Son, Jesus Christ. That's how we grow our faith. We don't grow our faith by saying, God, I'm going to lay out this test for you, and if you come through, then I'll have faith in you. Anybody in here ever put out fleece to God and said, hey, God, I'm going to put this out here, and if you do this, then I'll know it's you. Anybody ever done that? Yeah, okay, I have to. When I felt like God was calling me to preach, I did over and over. I think I shared this with you one time. There was a guy that had preached several revivals for our church. His name was Tommy Vass. And Tommy absolutely knew that I was not a preacher. And I remember sitting in the prayer room one night, and I was struggling about being called to preach. I was sitting in the prayer room, and me and another guy was sitting in there. Neither one of us, I mean, we wasn't wearing ties or anything. We didn't look like preachers at all. We were sitting there in the prayer room, and here come Tommy. And I had already told God before I got to church that night. I said, you let Tommy ask me to preach tonight, and I'll preach tonight. Now, Tommy knows I'm not a preacher. I've known him for a long time at this point in time. He walks into the prayer room, looks at me and the other guy over there and said, which one of you guys are going to preach tonight? I said, not me. It must be him. It ain't me. I've laid out fleece like that for God. But you know what? God has nothing to prove to me for me to increase my faith. He proved it all by allowing Jesus Christ to come and give his life. He's done proved everything that he... Now, I'm glad that there's been times in my life that God has given me assurance and that God has showed me some things and God has done those things for me from time to time. But God don't owe me anything else. He already proved that I could put my complete faith and my complete trust in him. So as Cain and Abel come and they bring these sacrifices, Cain's sacrifice, the Bible tells us that God didn't respect it. Abel faithfully followed God's example and God honored his sacrifice. But it was also another point to that was that Abel brought his sacrifice with the right attitude. Abel brought his, the Bible says it was the firstlings of the fat. In other words, it was the best that he had, and he was willing to give it to God. You want your faith to increase? If I want my faith to increase, give God your absolute best. And you know what your absolute best is that we can give God? 100% surrender yourself. Hey, I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about, hey, we're going to have a baby dedication here in a few weeks, and those are awesome. I think that's important. I think it's really important that God gives us these gifts and we give back, and we take up an offering on Sunday morning, and we say this is our opportunity to give back unto God for what he's given to us. But I want to tell you, the best gift that you can give God back is yourself. 100% surrender to him into your life. And we shouldn't be doing it with the kind of attitude of, well, God, here I am. Now you just do something special with me. God, I'm here and you just use me for your work. It should be a complete surrender. God, here I am. I'm your servant. God, I want to serve you. I want to worship you. I want to give you glory with my life and point others to the cross. Cain didn't do that. If you notice in Genesis chapter number 4, that God even come to him and said, why are you wroth? And he says, and why are you in the state of mind that you're in? And then he actually gives him a space of repentance in the next verse. And says, don't you know that if you do this right, it'll be just like you done it right the first time. But if you don't, then sin lieth at the door. Or in other words, destruction lieth in wait for you. So if we want to increase our faith, we got to give God our 100% best, which is us. We got to give God in the right attitude. Let's continue reading for just a minute. I want to touch a couple of these characters tonight in God's Word. Genesis chapter number 5, verse number 18. I went the wrong way. I'm back in Hebrews. Genesis chapter number 5. You know, Genesis is that book over here in the front. I don't even have to use my cheat tabs for that one. Genesis chapter number 5. Verse number 18, the Bible says, and Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived, after he begat Enoch, 800 years. Now, preacher, you want me to have faith, and you're telling me somebody lived 800 years? Absolutely. God's word's true. And begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Oh, there we go, 65 years. I can believe that. Well, hang on a minute. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now look, you find Enoch in the Hebrews chapter number 11. And I want you to notice how Enoch got to Hebrews chapter number 11. Now, some would say it's because of the last part of verse number 24, where the Bible says, and he was not, for God took him. In other words, God just took him up. He didn't die. He was just taken up by God. But I want to think that Enoch made Hebrews chapter number 11, the Faith Hall of Fame, because of the first part of verse number 24. And Enoch walked with God. If you want to be a faithful servant of God, it's walking with God. It's not using God or coming to see God on Sunday morning. Well, what about Monday through Friday? What about Saturday? Why are we not walking with God? If we want to be a faithful servant, now look, I'm not saying that we're going to make a hall of faith or that there's going to be another Hebrews chapter number 11 written and it's going to have our names in it. But I want to tell you, my name may not never make it in this book, but there's a book that's already got my name in it. And there was a great price paid for my name to be in that book. And I want to be a faithful servant of God, if nothing else, because he was willing to forgive me of my sins and to write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to be faithful. Lord, we thank and we praise you for this day. We thank you for all your many blessings. God, I know that I fall and come short and I fail so many times. But God, I pray that you'll help me to be like Enoch and have my life a life that walks with God. God, I want to thank you for the example that you've given us, even in Genesis chapter number 1, that we can put our faith and our trust in you. And God, I pray, dear Father, that you'll help me to serve you in the way that Abel brought his gift. That God, I'll have the attitude that I know that I'm not worthy, and God, that you deserve everything in my life, and the best thing I can give you is 100% of me. God, help me to fully surrender my life to you. God, help me to be a person that can lead others to the cross of Christ and a person that can give you glory. Continue to touch our church, God. I pray that you'll work in an amazing way. Thank you for the souls that's been saved, and God, may you bless us with many, many more for the glory of the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.